Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
Quite a process that a piece of pottery goes through, right? The shaping, the molding, pressing, and then they get thrown into the heat to be baked, right? And then they have the fire part that actually glazes it, is that right? And I don't know if you could see real clearly on that vase, but it had a lot of beautiful markings on it from when it was put in the fire. It gave a bunch of just some neat effects on that. Pretty cool. But when we're going through the fire, we don't think it's so cool, do we? So I want us to look at what drives you. And we're recording, right? What drives you? What drives you? So we're going to look at that this morning. Jeremiah chapter 1. And we could look at a lot of different passages. We could look at Paul. We could look at Joseph. We could look at Jesus. I want us to look at Jeremiah this morning and just kind of look at this idea of purpose, plan, and all that type of stuff. And so let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this day, dear God. I pray that you'd take your word, make it come alive to us today. I believe your Holy Spirit here is here just to help us to understand and to connect it to what we're thinking in our own lives and where we're at. And I pray that you'd come by your Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. The words of Jeremiah of Hilkiah, one of the priests of Ananoth in the territory of Benjamin, southern part of Israel. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. That's in the south. Josiah kind of led Israel through a revival, but it's at the end of Israel's history before they go into exile. It's leading up to their exile in Babylon. Through the reign of Jehoiakim, all right, and down to the fifth month, the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. So Zedekiah was one of the last kings before Nebuchadnezzar would come in and annihilate Jerusalem, when the people went into exile. Verse 4, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So that goes along with what Josh read in Psalms 139, right? Before you were born, I set you apart. Wow, even before Jeremiah was born, he was set apart. So Karen, month away, think, before this child is even born, God has a plan and a purpose for her life. Isn't that cool? And I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. In this first chapter of Jeremiah, we see some key principles that'll help us make sense of life and living in a way that brings meaning and purpose to our lives. And so the first thing we need to do, and this is in your program here, the first thing we need to do is discover our God-given purpose. Discover our God-given purpose. For Jeremiah, it was what? To be a prophet to the nations, right? God says, I have called you, I have formed you, even before you were born, I have set you apart to be a prophet to the nation. That was Jeremiah's purpose in life. And as you look through Scripture, you can see this idea of purpose in many key figures. Jesus, in John chapter 18, verse 37, says, then he said to Pilate, so this is during his trial, and right before he's going to be crucified, he says, you are a king, Jesus answered. You say that I'm a king. But it was for this purpose that I was born. And it was for this purpose that I've come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Jesus said it was for this purpose. What was his purpose? What was he going to do? He was going to save us. He was going to die on the cross, right? And it was for this purpose, Jesus said, that I have come into this world to bear witness to the truth and ultimately to die on the cross for us. Joseph, you think of Joseph. Joseph, at a young age, he has dreams, he has visions, and he tells them to his brothers, and they weren't so excited about it because it involved people bowing down to Joseph. But he had a sense of destiny, a sense of purpose, even from a young age. But then it leads to him being betrayed by his brothers. He's taken into Egypt as a servant, as a slave. He's elevated, but then he's thrown into jail because he's betrayed there by Potiphar's wife. He spends time in prison before God exalts him to the second in command of all Egypt. But when you look at Romans 8:28, some of you know that, right? It says, all things work together for good, right? Right? Does it end there? Well, what's the rest of it? For those who are, who love him, and what? Are called according to his purpose. When you think of Joseph, I'm sure there was times where he said, God, why am I in this prison? I had the dreams, I had the sense of destiny, a vision. Why am I in this pit? Why am I in prison falsely accused for attacking Potiphar's wife? Why am I here? God, you had these dreams and visions. But it says that God came to him and assured him while during those times. All things work together for good those for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I think of Paul. He was called to be a light to the Gentiles. That definitely wasn't easy. Not everybody could be a Paul. Okay? He wasn't the best pastor, but he was a light to the Gentiles. He went into unplowed territory that hadn't been worked. The gospel hadn't been there. And he went into these parts. He was one of the greatest missionaries that has ever walked this earth. And he took the gospel there into Asia, what is now modern-day Turkey, and Athens and Mesopotamia. He took it into those areas and saw many people come to know Christ. Discovering your God-given purpose is crucial because it answers the question of why. Why are you here on this earth? You ever ask that question? When we don't understand the question, we drift through life, we struggle with meaning and purpose. We struggle with why am I here? When we understand the why in life, it answers a lot of questions. If we don't understand why, any sacrifice, any price is too great. Okay? And I mentioned that a couple weeks ago, but when we don't understand the why question, any price is too great. Okay? Now, if I go to the gym, I use this a lot, but if I go to the gym, I have to get myself there. There's sacrifice, there's commitment, there's energy that has to be put out, okay? And your body sometimes hurts doing that, and you think, why in the world am I doing this? Well, it's because you understand the why. I'm here because maybe I need to lose weight, or maybe I need to get in better health, okay? I'm having some health issues, or I just want to stay in good physical health. Okay, but you have to understand the why question. Otherwise, you're not going to go and put yourself through that excruciating exercise, right? All right? You have to understand the why. And when you understand the why in life, that your purpose, it's going to help you navigate through that. Paul had to understand the purpose. Here he people will try to run him out of town. They try to kill him with stones. They opposed him. In all different ways, he was shipwrecked. He would have quit had it not been that he understood that God's purpose was for him was to be a light to the Gentiles. You have to have that crystal clear. Jeremiah, who we're talking about, would not be a popular person within Israel. Okay, he would face a lot of resistance because of the message that God would place within his heart. We'll talk more about that. But when we understand the why, it answers a lot of questions. It changes things. Billy Graham, I think, passed away, right? He passed away this week, right? 99 years of age. But there was no doubt that God had set him apart for a divine purpose, is there? But I know there was also a lot of sacrifices that he made. He lived a life of integrity. He had boundaries within his life that helped protect his ministry, but it all came with a cost, okay? But he lived his life with a purpose and with determination, and because of that, he lived an incredible life that not only impacted many believers, but impacted the world and our nation, just the honor that they have given him. And so when we understand that purpose, it answers the why question. Now, sometimes, for some people, I think it becomes very, it's easy to pick up on that, the purpose. Some people, they just kind of have that, just And I envy those people, okay? All right? For others, people, it's a little more of a discovery. Now, how many like a treasure hunt? Okay, some of you do. Yeah, some of you do. And you have to kind of discover it a little bit. So that's why we offer the class. We're helping people to discover their divine design. We look at their passion, their natural gifts, their spiritual gifts, their experience. By passion, what excites you? What motivates you? What kind of tears at your heart a little bit? Okay? And so we look at all those different things to help understand that. So let's look at verses 6 through 8. Then the Lord says, "Ah, sovereign Lord," Jeremiah says, "I do not know how to speak." That's kind of an issue if you're going to be a prophet, isn't it? "I am an only child, but the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I'm an only child. You must go to everyone that I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you,' declares the Lord." Now, Jeremiah recognized he probably wasn't the greatest spokesperson, okay? And maybe he didn't have public speaking when he was in high school, okay? I think that's usually a required course, isn't it? Speech required? I don't know. All I know is that preaching class for me in Bible college was like one of the, I mean, you could have shot me. It was just a terrible thing to endure, okay? Because I was not this exceptional extrovert. It was very difficult. I would sweat bullets, okay? It was a very difficult thing. But with the experience, you do kind of grow through that. And that's what God says, "You know what? I'm going to be with you, Jeremiah. I'm going to anoint you. You have what it's going to take to be my prophet to the nations." And he would be a prophet during a very volatile time in Israel. He would be a steady influence that would share Christ. And even when everything in him would resist and say, "No, I don't want to speak anymore," God would speak through him. He would be faithful to what God had called him to do. And one, you know, when you look at the history of Jeremiah, people wonder, did Jeremiah even have a convert? We don't know. We're not aware of any converts that Jeremiah had. Man, in our day and age, you'd give him an F as a pastor. Church growth? None of that, man. Right? No converts, no church growth. Was he faithful? Was he loyal? Absolutely. He did what God had called him to do. And sometimes we look at success, we look at things through the wrong lens. But Jeremiah was faithful to what God had called him to do. He was wired for the task that God gave him. Now, when you're looking at a piece of pottery, so we had that example here earlier, you can learn a lot about the purpose by the way it is created and designed, right? So if a piece of pottery has a handle and a lip on it, what's it going to probably be designed for? What's its purpose? Pouring a pitcher, right? Right? It has a handle, spout, you can pour out of it. Now, if it's kind of skinny and tall, maybe has a little even flare on the top, maybe what would it be used for? A vase, yeah. What if it's kind of bigger and bulkier and has a cover on it? Storage, maybe? Yeah, they used to store a lot of things in vases or vessels, right? They were made out of pottery. And so that would, see, the design helps you understand the purpose, right? And see, when you discover your divine design, your temperament, okay? Not your temper, but your temperament, your personality, and just some of those giftings. There's some of you that are very crafty and good at doing things graphically. And then others of us that are just very challenged that way. Okay, nobody is the same, right? And great things happen when we embrace the way that God has designed us and called us to be, the way he's wired us. I think of Billy Graham, if we can use him as an example again, is that, you know, every preacher, when Billy Graham became very popular and very known, everybody coming out of Bible college wanted to preach like who? Billy Graham, yeah. But, you know, not everybody was gifted that way. I heard one, there's a lot of videos out there, but they just talked about when he got saved, Billy Graham, one of the things that just made him stand out was his booming voice. He just had a voice that carried. Wow, isn't it interesting how God used that and for what God had called him to do? He had gifted him, he had designed him to be his vessel that he could flow through. And so when we discover our talents, our spiritual gifts, our personality, you factor in your experience, and then what's in your heart, your passion? What are you passionate about? They're like pieces to a puzzle. You can have one piece and it's kind of like, it doesn't mean anything, right? Okay, anybody like puzzles here? A few of you, okay. So if you just got one piece, it's often it's kind of like, you don't know what the whole thing is, right? You don't know what the whole picture is. But all of a sudden you start putting the pieces together, and all of a sudden, wow, you have a design, you have a picture. You have the big picture when you start putting those pieces together. And that's what we try to do in that class, is we try to help bring those pieces together so that you see the whole picture of what God has called you to do. It's a little bit like connecting the dots. You have all these random dots and it doesn't make any sense, and all of a sudden you start connecting the dots. It's kind of like, now I see the picture. But you didn't see it before the lines were there. You know, like pottery, no vessel is the same, is it? Each vessel is different. Each of you is different. And He's designed you for a plan and for a purpose. Paul, I mentioned him earlier. Paul was not the best pastor. He was a great evangelist and missionary, but he was not the best pastor because he was just too much in your face. He was too direct. But see, that drivenness is what made him a good missionary evangelist, proclaiming of the gospel. That's what made him excel. Now, he raised up Timothy and Titus. Okay, they were a little bit kinder. They were caring. They were shepherds. He raised them up to then pastor the churches that he started and rose up. And they did that job. And they had a better temperament to be pastors, to love the people, and to bring them along. They were compassionate. Jeremiah, he was that steady and faithful person. And so he led Israel through a volatile time and spoke God's word. The key is to discover your purpose, your divine design. The third thing is look at this together, verses 9 through 19. It says, "And the Lord reached out his hand, and he touched my mouth and said to me, 'Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations, kingdoms, to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant.' The word of the Lord came to me, 'What do you see, Jeremiah?' 'I see a branch of an almond tree,' I replied. And the Lord said to me, 'You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled.'" Verse 13, "Then the word of the Lord came to me and says, 'What do you see?' 'I see a boiling pot, and it's tilted away from the north.' I answered, and the Lord said to me, 'From the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land.'" You see that picture? You have this big boiling pot of water, and it's going to be poured out towards Israel. That doesn't sound good, does it? "I'm about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms," so it'd be Assyria and Babylon, declares the Lord. "Then the kings will come, and they will set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me and burning incense to other gods and worshiping what their hands have made." So God says judgment is coming from the north. Northern Israel had already been affected by Assyria, but now Babylon would come down and take out southern Israel, which was called Judah. "Get yourself ready, stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall, to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests." Did you just catch that? He's going to stand up against who? The priests. Even the religious people in Israel would oppose what Jeremiah had to say. Wow. "And the people of the land, they will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Wow. How many want Jeremiah's job? When we first learn about Jeremiah's purpose, we kind of learn a little bit how he's wired, right? He says, "I'm a child, I don't really want to speak." Moses said that too, right? Moses, God called Moses and he said, "Hey, I can't speak." So he raises up Aaron, his brother, to do the speaking part. But God gives him a vision, right? Jeremiah knows he's called to be a prophet, but now he has a vision. He has an idea of what God has called him to do. He can see it now. And the message that God has given him to proclaim. Okay? Purpose was to be a prophet. But now he has a vision of what he is supposed to say and what he's supposed to do. He can see it. And so the third thing is that we need to discover a purpose, our divine design, and then a God-inspired vision. A God-inspired vision. A vision is a picture of what the future looks like. And so for Jeremiah, now he has this vision. He has a message. He's a prophet, but now he has a message he is to declare. And he even kind of gets a picture of what that looks like, the boiling pot, but also he gets a picture that, you know what, it's not going to be embraced by a lot of people. Most people are going to be opposed against him, but it is a picture. He knows what he's supposed to do. He knows what God has called him to do, and he has a vision of what that looks like. If your purpose is to be a teacher, what does that vision look like to you? How is that going to be lived out for you in 5 years? Okay? Is it going to be to elementary kids? Is it going to be to high school kids? Is it going to be to college kids? Or is it going to be a Sunday school teacher? Okay? Or is it going to be an online teacher? Those are all different, right? And they all take a different personality. They all take a different gift mix. All right? What has he called you to do? What does that vision look like? It could be a private school, public school. What is that vision? As a church, we could say our vision is to reach people, right? But what does that look like? Okay, we're trying to flesh that out. And we'll share a little bit more at the vision meeting, just what that looks like, just our values, what a healthy family looks like, okay? One that models biblical values at home. And so you have that picture of what the future looks like. And Jeremiah has that dream, he has that vision that God has given him that he declares to the people. All right. What is God's vision that he's placed within your heart? Maybe starting up a new business in your community because there's a need and you have the expertise to make it happen. Often visions are birthed out of a need. God has given you, he's wired you with specific gifts and talents, personality, and all of a sudden he'll place you in a situation where a need calls for what you have, all right? So I've heard Samaritan's Purse, Food for the Hungry, a lot of those were birthed out of people going on missions trips, and all of a sudden they see the need, and it gets to their heart, right? And God speaks to them, and he gives them a vision, saying, hey, I want you to do this. And that's how ministries are birthed, right? But it speaks to their heart. And so often, just areas of ministry will happen as we are placed in a situation where we see a need and we go, you know what? I can meet that need. And we fulfill it. And I encourage people to get as much experience as you can just serving, working in different areas. Why? Because at times you kind of do something and you think, man, I don't want to do this. And all of a sudden you get into it and it's kind of like, whoa, things just kind of click. It's kind of like, wow, I enjoyed doing that. It was meaningful to me and I enjoyed doing it. Tessa, can I use you as an example? So Tessa is a biology teacher at Doan. But since she's been at the church here, she's also been kind of taking it upon herself, not in a good way, is to visit people. And so she ministered to Bob before his passing. And that kind of resonated with you, didn't it? Doing hospice. And so now she's signed up and in the process of volunteering as a hospice person. Not because she has to, but because it brought her meaning. It's something that's been fulfilling to her. But she probably, as a biology teacher, probably would have never picked that up. But all of a sudden she experienced something. It's kind of like, you know what? I want to do that, and I want to do it just for free. You know, I just want to be there for people. That is what I encourage you to be involved in ministry and to find where God has wired you and blessed you with and to use that. Because you know what? There's probably things that you enjoy doing that others don't. And so as a pastor, there's things I enjoy doing. Okay, I enjoy studying God's word and speaking it. Even being up in front of you doesn't terrify me anymore. But there's some things that I hate doing. Okay? And sometimes I have a hard time asking people to do that. Why? Because I'm thinking, well, I hate it. They're going to hate it too. Right? But there's things that you are all gifted at that it's kind of like, wow, I enjoy doing that. I enjoy serving, being in the kitchen or doing other things, okay? When you leave here today, after our time of fellowship and our annual meeting, you're going to have some choices, okay? Now, there's basically one choice to get out of our parking lot, okay? You're going to go around the corner, get to the stop sign. Then you have two choices, right? Go to the right or the left. And then if you go to the left, then you have like three choices there. There's choices, right? If you go to the right, you got one choice for a while, and then you can start taking. There's a lot of choices, right? If you start from Main Street, you have a lot of choices that you could get out of Crete, right? What am I getting at? Well, there's a lot of choices in life that you can make. But until you know your purpose and where you're going, your vision, and have an idea where you're going, which direction do I go, right? You ever been there? It's kind of like, which direction do I go? Because you don't know where you're going. But once you kind of have an idea where you're going, it's kind of like, okay, I'm going to Dorchester, right? Stephen's going to go home. He's going to Dorchester, right? So he's not going to go left. He's just going to, easy decision. He's going to take that right and head down the highway. He's headed to Dorchester. Gary and Mary, they're going to take a left because they're heading that way, okay? John and Barb, they're going to go out here and they're going to hit 103 and go right. No? Oh, they're going to go shopping first. But they know where they're going. All right? Eventually, they're going to head down that way, right? But when you have that sense of vision and direction, then you know where you're going. It helps you to say no. It helps you to say no to the things that aren't on the right path. And it helps you to say yes to God's best. Okay? And we struggle with that as people. Sometimes we say yes to everything. And we should be willing to help and do things and volunteer and to do things when we see a need. But when it really comes to really getting into that purpose of what God has called us to do, the more we can kind of hone in on that and narrow that down, it helps us to say yes to the things that God has called us to do. Does that make sense? Let me have the musicians come. Jeremiah would have many difficult days. God told him that up front. If you read through Jeremiah and then the book of Lamentations, Laments, he talks a lot about that. He would be arrested, apprehended. He was thrown in a pit and just left there for days. Slimy pit. Not a way to treat God's prophet. We don't know the final days of Jeremiah. He may have been killed in the assault of Babylon when they came in. Babylonians. Some think that he is maybe carried off to Egypt as a captive. But he says in chapter 20, verse 9, I think there was days that Jeremiah wanted to quit. He wanted to give up. But this is what he says in verse 9 of chapter 20. But if he goes, if I say I will not mention his word or speak of his name anymore, his word is like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. And see, the goal for us as Christians should be to find out what has God called us to do and to really find that zone, because if we do, it'll be like a fire within us. Are you going to have oppositions? Absolutely. In fact, some of the people that are closest to you are going to fight you the most. Isn't that interesting? But to find that purpose and what God has called you to do and pursue it, and then where there's that fire of what God has called you to do. Amen? What drives you? What is God's purpose for your life? What has He wired you to do? What ignites your heart? You know what Satan fears the most? You know what he dreads and just fears the most? It's when God's people discover their purpose, their design, and their vision. Because instead of being complacent, they're driven. Instead of comparing their life to the life of other people and say, oh, I wish I was like them, they're focused on doing what God has gifted them and designed them to do. Instead of wandering aimlessly thinking, what should I be doing? They are going about doing the work of God with a fire in their heart and their soul. And that scares Satan. And it scares him when the church catches that as well. That they understand what God has called them to do, not only as an individual, but as the body of Christ. Because now they're just not an organization, but they're an organization that exists to fulfill the mission of God. Amen? What drives you? What has God called you to do? And I'm not just talking about ministry. Maybe He's called you for ministry. Okay? Maybe He's called you to be a teacher. Maybe He's called you to be a carpenter. Maybe He's called you to be an engineer. I don't know. Administrative assistant. Whatever He's called you to be, the best that you can be. Glorify God through it. Do it with all your heart. Give Him the honor and the praise through it. But live your life with that fire and that passion and that purpose. It'll totally change and transform your life. Amen? Would you stand this morning? We're going to go back to that song we sang earlier. I'm going to have Victor and Yolanda if you come, Christy. If you need prayer this morning, they'll pray with you. If you need to know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, we started off saying that at the beginning of the service. He is pursuing you. If you don't know Him as your Lord and your Savior, just make your way down. Don't make a big deal out of it. Just come, make your way down. They'll pray with you to know you, to know Christ as your Lord and your Savior. But I'm going to call us all just to surrender our lives this morning. And I don't know where you're at in that process. Some of you are just a laser focus. You know what God has called you to do. Some of you are still searching. And I wish I would have went through that process when I was younger or when I was in Bible college. That was actually in my 30s where I really started to narrow in on that. And to really go through that discovery saying, God, what have you called me to do? It would have helped me to serve me more. So give your life to God this morning. Just say, God, what have you called me to do? Sign up for the class if you haven't gone through it. If you've gone through it, great. If you haven't, sign up for it, okay? Let's sing that chorus together. Make it your prayer this morning. Will you offer God, just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you this morning. Lord, this morning, we offer you our lives. Lord, I do know that you designed each of us brilliantly and wonderfully. And Lord God, I pray that we can get to the place that we see all the great things that you've done and when you've shaped and formed us in our mother's womb. And Lord God, to discover your plans and your purpose for our life, Lord God. Lord, they're all important. They're all needed within the body of Christ and in our society. And Lord, I pray above all that you place that fire within us, Lord God, that our bodies may ache when we get up in the morning, and there may be things, life isn't always perfect. But Lord God, that fire is in our hearts, Lord God, knowing that we have a purpose, we have a plan for our life, that it isn't fabricated by us, but it is placed there by your Holy Spirit and by God Himself. And Lord, we just give you the thanks this day. We offer you our lives. Bless our fellowship that follows here today and our meeting, Lord. And we just give you the thanks. We ask a special blessing upon Joyce today, Lord God, just for the great years that you've given her, Lord God. And we just pray your special blessing upon her today. Give you the thanks. We give it to you in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right. Shake hands with a few people. Ask them what drives them.